The outcome of this analysis is that it is 2013 will rank as the sixth warmest year since we have observation record, roughly since the middle of the 19th century. And this is confirmation of the fact that the global warming keeps on going.
When you say warmest, what exactly is going on around the world in both the north and the southern hemispheres? What exactly have you observed? Yeah.
We see that although the planet is warming, this is certainly not uniform. You have places where you see record temperature, record heat wave, and that was the case in 2013. For example, in Australia, where it was the warmest year ever recorded in Australia. It's very important that when we talk about climate change, we don't focus on small portion of the planet, but we also look at other elements. What is the impact on the globally average temperature? What are the impact on the extremes? What is also the impact on precipitation? Because precipitation is also an important element of climate change.
For the ordinary folk on the street, when you tell them the temperatures are rising, how should they interpret such an observation?
When we talk only about the average increase in temperature, it probably doesn't mean a lot for normal people, because what matters is what affects daily life is extreme events. It is indeed precipitation. So it is very important that we keep on improving, and actually most Met services of the planet do exactly that, the quality of the forecast, of the warnings which are provided, so that timely action can be taken. And this is particularly important when it comes to extreme events where early warnings can and do contribute to save lives.
Well, when you talk about 2013, the year had some very unusual weather patterns. Mm-hmm. There was a vortex in North America. Mm-hmm. Almost the entire of North America was frozen. Mm-hmm. There were floods in England, and they still continue. Mm-hmm. Are these effects of this warming that we are seeing, that it's affecting regions very differently?
You know, it's always very difficult to attribute a single event to just climate change. However, what we can say with a high level of confidence is that what we see is compatible with what we are expecting from climate change. You were mentioning this polar vortex. Actually, what it reflects is the fact that the weather, the temperature, of course, are colder over the North Pole than they are over the equator. And this is due to the different heating of the sun in different places. And this difference in temperature is really the engine, the trigger for the atmospheric circulation. And normally the winds, as you know, in mid-latitude tend to go from west to east, but this is not uniform. And sometimes you get more sort of zonal pattern, this west to east winds, or sometimes you get intrusions of cold air in very low latitude. And this is exactly what happened over part of North America. By the way, this cold weather, which has been hitting parts of USA, has not been hitting the whole of USA. It's still very warm if you look at California. If you look at Alaska, Alaska recorded in January in some places, we recorded up to 17 degrees Celsius, which was significantly warmer than the temperature recorded at the same time in Atlanta. So you see, it's not uniform, and this is why it's so important that we don't draw conclusion from what is happening in a particular location over a limited period.
What can be done to control this rising of global temperatures? Is there something that can be done?
This is the whole challenge of the negotiation which take place under the auspices of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. And you know that the negotiations are very challenging, very difficult. But there are two things which will have to be done. One is that if we want to limit the global increase in temperature to less than 2 degrees, quick and bold action will have to be taken in terms of limiting the emission, actually more than limiting, reducing significantly the emission of greenhouse gases. Otherwise, the objective of 2 degrees will not be met. The other action is on adaptation, because even if we limit emission, there will be a certain amount of warming that we cannot avoid, and therefore countries, communities will have to adapt to that. So the two action, mitigation and adaptation, have to go hand in hand. We need bold action on mitigation, but at the same time, we need significant action and therefore significant resources to help countries to adapt to what is already committed.